A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. In Luke, it immediately follows the temptation of Jesus in the desert, and the very first thing he does is to go and teach in the synagogues, to enormous acclaim. But as we know, not just for Jesus, for just about everybody, popular acclaim tends to be short-lived. And in the case of Jesus, it almost immediately went bad on him. Later in this same chapter, we hear that there were some people against him trying actually to kill him. And when he was eventually killed, when he was hung on the cross, very few friends had remained faithful and were there to accompany him in his last moments. Anyway, here, what he's doing is still done by adult male members of the Jewish community. He reads from the Torah on the Sabbath in the synagogue. And his specific choice of passage from Isaiah really presents his whole program. God has sent him to the poor, the prisoners, the blind, the oppressed. And let's remember that words like these always, especially in Scripture, have a far broader meaning than perhaps we might suppose at first sight. We can be poor in many ways, not just financially. We can be the prisoner of our faults or of other people's prejudice. We can be blind to other people's needs or to our responsibility for all kinds of negative situations. We can be oppressed by our doubts, by our fears, by the assumptions we make without any solid grounds. All of that has to be borne in mind when we look at Jesus' program. And again, the year of the Lord's favor that he mentions isn't just, I think, a year in the ordinary sense of 12 calendar months. It's the span of time, long or short as it may be, during which we recognize and welcome and profit from God's favor. So Jesus is proclaiming the most liberating message imaginable. Whatever your handicap, whether it be physical or moral or existential, God's love is there to be drawn on, to help you overcome your limitations, to make you a close collaborator in the work of salvation. In this sense, we are all the same. We're all one. We're united in our need for salvation and in the availability of that salvation to every single one of us. And then when he's finished this short reading, what does Jesus do? He sits down and then makes a claim which we've heard so often that we barely notice how sensational it was and how it must have shaken his listeners in the synagogue. He says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." It's this man who's just read this passage who has fulfilled the scripture, who's been sent to liberate us from all those burdens that we've already mentioned, from our poverty, from our blindness, from our limitations, which are a prison for us, for the oppressions that weigh on us. And finally, this Sunday falls within the week of prayer for Christian unity. There it is again, the idea that we are or should be one. It's what Jesus himself wanted. It's what more than one pope has wanted. But we seem to have a very hard time overcoming our differences and being one. And yet we are. We're one in baptism. We're one in being, at times the instruments, but always the recipients of God's grace. Isn't that the overwhelming argument in favor of the unity of the Christian churches? The Son of God is the Savior, not just of the Catholics, or just of the Methodists, or just of the Baptists, or just of the Presbyterians, but of all of us. We've all been baptized in the one Lord. And this is, again, a chance for us to overcome our reluctance and our differences and the diversity that is an obstacle to us, and to become truly one, at last truly one, in the Lord, with the Lord, through the Lord, for the Lord. Let's pray that that may come about very, very soon.